Hey guys, welcome to the Nerds by Nature podcast. I'm Braden, your host, and I'm joined here today with my three co-hosts. We've got Brian, Josh, hello. And Seth here hello. With us. And today we're going to talk about this very interesting topic of the phenomenon of Minecraft that has outlived, 14 years now?
Something like that. Basically, yeah. Counting the alphas as well.
Yeah. Of a fantastic game that came out of nowhere. So I want to start out with, what do you think is the grand, like the great appeal of this game, and why has it survived for so long?
I think just the big main part of it is that it's such a basic idea that can be expanded upon in so many ways. We see that in a lot of just like board games and other games in general, where you have a very simple idea, but then it's people actually going in and being creative that makes it such a big game. Because we've seen servers and just PvP and like just creation of like just building and other things. There are just so many things that can be done in Minecraft, but it all just feels so seamless and it just fits together so well.
I think in particular in the video game industry, Minecraft's open worldness, just the fact that, I mean, there were other open world games before, but Minecraft just doesn't tell you what to do at all. It offers you an entire world to explore, but it does not give you any instructions whatsoever. I mean, there are instructions on YouTube these days, but you don't have to go view those. They're not part of the game.
I think I find that interesting. I guess I've never thought of it like that. It literally just plops you down in this world and you do what you want. Kind of what you were saying is like it's an everything game. But like a lot of games have their tutorial and their big storyline to give all of this intrigue into this game. But it's so, I guess, vanilla, I guess. It's so basic and so neutral in everything that it can appease to such a greater audience.
Yeah.
So let's get into this, where this game came from and some of the ins and outs of this. Something that really caught my attention in this is that this game is very, very similar to a game made a couple of years before Minecraft was even thought about by Notch or even conceived. Was this game called Infinity Miner, which is just like this basic mining game. It looks exactly like, not exactly like Minecraft, but the basic, like your pixelated blocks and type of mining stuff.
Was it 3D like Minecraft?
It was very much 3D like Minecraft.
Okay.
It was like you placing down blocks or taking or mining out blocks, kind of that same type of aspect was brought by this Infinity Miner. But one of the big differences that especially that Notch, the creator of Minecraft, wanted to do better of this was making it something that you could build stuff, because that's what a lot of the community was going towards in Infinity Miner, but they couldn't because it was like out for like only, I want to say only like 6 months until it was shut down because of hacking and server issues.
Ripped.
But a really big thing that he wanted to fix was the sprites or the players. Everything else about the world was 3D except for the players, which were 2D. And so, which when I saw that was a very interesting game choice, but it makes a lot more sense and brings in a lot more realism and immersion by having that 3D character. And so he put that together, and that's what he wanted. Well, as soon as he saw that, he knew that's the type of game he wanted to play and wanted to create. But have you ever heard of a game that is released in this sort of fashion as Minecraft has?
Not before Minecraft.
All he did was just made a basic palette, a flat world of just grass, and all you could do was place cobblestone. That was all you could do. Break and place cobblestone. You couldn't place grass to fix the floor. So if you broke the floor, that was it. But you could just place a block and break a block.
Yeah.
That was the basics of it.
I think it's interesting that he released earlier and was willing to get community feedback, which probably helped the game a lot.
100%.
I mean, you can release early and can be really disastrous. We've seen lately, I'm not a huge gamer myself, but I know I hear a lot about people being like, they're literally just releasing an unfinished game and finishing it with DLCs. But with him, it was like, I'm going to get community feedback. And I think that was the big difference between those two instances.
And so, like you said about bringing up the community feedback, but this was something that it took a while. Like, it took 2 years to actually produce the full game of what he wanted and actually be published. But it was a rollout of small things here and there, of things that added to this game and subtracted from the game and added of what it is now, obviously.
Yeah. I do think being willing to get community feedback is something Minecraft has actually kept going with the snapshots now, I think of it.
Yeah.
Because we have plenty of snapshots that never make it into the final update or drastically change. So,
well, that also includes promises of like the bundle and stuff like that. That
I mean, yeah,
supposed to have 4 to 5 years now.
Yeah, and part of that's the fact that they don't have a giant development team and they're under Microsoft now. But
yeah.
Well, so he started this in like 2009, and by June of 2010, there were 400 copies sold per day.
That is impressive.
Per day. That is incredible.
For basically an indie company, that's incredibly impressive.
And that was before its official release. This game wasn't even finished.
Yeah.
And everybody was on board helping with this. This is something that I've thought about. Do you think that's a lot because of people being able to influence the game as much as they were?
I do think that helped. I also think people can tell when people... This is something I talked about a lot during our Star Wars episode as well, but just the fact that people can tell when a creator actually enjoys creating something and has put passion and work into it.
Yeah.
I don't go too much into that because I did talk about it a lot in our Star Wars episode, but yeah, I mean, the transparency, I'm sure, was a big part of it. It's just a well-made game. It really also is. Part of it, even in the betas, it's just a cool concept. And very unique at the time, especially.
Yeah, Notch was even offered a job at Valve that was blowing up at this time. Just a reminder, Valve is the creator of Steam, creator of one of the first big VR headsets, and a lot of the big gaming industry right now.
They've pioneered some concepts that are used very regularly in 3D in third-person shooters and first-person shooters and like a lot of other things. Very, very, very impactful. Maybe we'll have to talk about him in another
100%.
I joked. I was like, when I heard that he had declined a job at Valve, I was like, yeah, I mean, if I'm not booting up Minecraft to play a video game, I'm booting up Steam. So
that's true. They got a lot of the market right there. And so finally, Minecraft is released and quickly sold over 1 million copies. A million copies before it was released, and soon it was released like a couple months later.
Yeah. I do wonder how much pricing had to do with that as well. I mean, I didn't buy Minecraft back in the day. I got into it in like 2019. But, I mean, $30 was what I paid-ish to get into Minecraft.
So before
your typical Wii game. Yeah, and your typical Wii game is like, and it, I mean, not that Wii games are like super expensive compared to what the effort put into them, but they're still like $40-$50.
Yeah.
Expensive games. That's kind of true of most good console games.
Even today, which we will come back to later in the episode, any other video game is going to cost you, any other AAA video game at least, it's going to cost you upwards of $60-$70.
Almost 80 now.
Yeah. And that's for just, you know, the base game.
Probably helps the pricing that Minecraft doesn't have to have great graphics to do what it does as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Accessibility, I think, was also important. Minecraft is a game that it is very, you know, just plop. You can get very deep into it because it is a game that just plops you in and says do what you want. But there's also some very simple things you can do that are still fun. my 11-year-old sister knows nothing about redstone or farms or really any of it, but she still just has fun building houses in survival.
So. I mean, that's how I got started building houses in creative. That was like my big thing.
Yeah.
There's just so many different things you can do in that game.
And I think something that's so awesome is that this has an attraction for everybody, as we mentioned at the beginning, but all the way down to its music and what it is it's beautiful. It's amazing. It is like, personally, I use that for my study music.
Oh, same. It's amazing.
Fantastic.
So good. And just to go a bit more into that music is something, it's just of Minecraft is something that I did want to talk about a lot. I love music in general. Game soundtracks are great. Film scores are great. I just love music. But Minecraft's soundtrack stands out so much, and it especially stood out in the time. As we know, the music was created by C418, a Swedish developer. Can't remember his name. But yeah, a Swedish guy named, well, artist named C418. And at the time, I believe Notch's vision, correct me if I'm wrong or if like you know much about this, but I'm pretty sure what he originally wanted was to have these, you know, just kind of like normal music for most of it. But like, you know, when a zombie comes out or a skeleton comes out, suddenly this very intense music plays. But what they found when doing that was that sometimes those bouts can last a couple seconds. And so it would be really, really hard to juggle intense music and calm music. So C418 and Notch had the idea of just kind of having ambient music. Idea of being ambient instead of very intentional in where it's placed. It was calm. It was just very, very laid back, and it could very easily blend into the background of really anything. Like, yes, yeah. You can have that calm music when it's, you know, intense when you're fighting the Ender Dragon, but you can also have it when you're cutting down a tree. Yeah. It just works so well, and C418 just made just these gorgeous, gorgeous songs that he continued to create up until just recently when, I don't know why, they decided to drop C418, and now they're using Lena Rain and another one. I can't remember their name. But
he kind of just went on his own.
Yeah, which is fair.
It is interesting that Minecraft is probably the first game that had to do an ambient soundtrack, because games, I mean, even like Super Mario Bros., you'd still need music for different moods and stuff. Whereas Minecraft is like, we don't know what the player is going to be doing at any given time, so we just have to do ambiance. Yeah.
I mean, let's think about, like, I don't know, just something not similar, but another open world exploration game. A bit more guided, of course, because especially at the time there wasn't anything really like Minecraft. But think of like Pokemon, where Pokemon, pretty open world, you can go wherever you want, though there is, you know, a guided story. But every single town has its own little, you know, song, and you've got a soundtrack for the routes.
Lavender Town.
Yep. You can be going through the route and just walking along the path, and it's one music, and then you get into the town and it just automatically switches to a very specific song for that place. But Minecraft, every single seed is going to be different. Every single world that you create is going to be different in some way. And then in that world, there are infinite possibilities of what you can do. Be you someone who likes PvP or building or mining. And so the music can't really be like, oh, you entered a savanna now, we're going to play. They kind of have, I guess, biome-based music now.
Not too
but
much.
It's still very ambient. Yeah. There's no like, let's play it right when they mine a block or right when they smack a zombie. It's just, let's play it just randomly.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about the seed generation a bit and just how cool that idea is, especially from a programming perspective and just a gameplay perspective. Pre-Minecraft, I could be wrong. I can't think of anything that used the whole seed thing, but the fact that Minecraft, it made the world theoretically infinite. I mean, at first, computers, it was still the early 2010s, and computers weren't going to be doing infinite worlds. But these days, you can really wander as far as you want if you've got a decent computer. It makes the game feel different every time a little bit. I think it just really helps to open. I mean, before that, open world games were painstakingly hard to make just because you had to build this giant world and there still had to be a limit on it because of practicality. Whereas the seed thing opens up a whole new door for open world games.
Go ahead. And a really cool thing about the seed generation is if a player finds like a seed that they really like a world that was generated that they really like that maybe has like a vein of diamond in a, like a specific spot, you can actually share that specific seed, give it to another player, and they can enter in that exact seed and play in that exact same world that the other player found.
I think that's really cool. I never thought of it of like being able to share, like, even though you're not connected exactly, but you could play the exact same world and go do the exact same things, but you're on different places, even though that it's 100% random. Well, not 100%, but randomly generated, but it's still intriguing. And I think that's why it's been alive for so long, is not only does it get continuous updates that updates the general content, but you can, like, if you get bored with a world, you just delete it or just save it and jump into another one. Yeah. And that's completely different. Your oceans, your biomes, everything's going to be in completely different places. Your terrain is going to be something else that you can go explore, especially with the new Caves and Cliffs update, where terrain is a lot more drastic and there's a lot different generation and stuff like that. It's constantly new, which is something that, like you were mentioning, these AAA games that have these beautiful gameplay mechanics, they can't do it because they're sticking to a storyline.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of limiting, but also makes
it works for their games.
Entirely different type of game.
Yeah.
I mean, just something that I've been considering is that you think about, like, just in media, like on YouTube, how, you know, just Minecraft has meshed into that space. You think about YouTubers for other games, maybe just YouTubers who are very generally video gamers, they may play a different game every single day, or they'll find a game that they play for a while, like, let's say, Elden Ring. They'll just go through they'll go through the story and then every single achievement and then speedrun, but then they're just going to move on to another game. But then you see some of these veteran Minecraft players that have been with it from the start and been on social media from the start with that.
14 years.
And they're still going strong. Consider Etho or, I mean, DocM. You got Captain Sparkles.
B-dubs.
Diamond Minecart. You got all these YouTubers that maybe strayed away for a second when Minecraft was kind of dying, which it was for a second. But you have others who have stuck to it and done basically nothing else, but that's fine because there are just so many possibilities.
And speaking of that, there's been new Minecraft YouTubers who have stepped onto the scene and had also massive success. I mean, PewDiePie is kind of credited with reviving it a bit even before the pandemic. And Dream certainly has undisputedly had massive success.
Came out of nowhere.
And he had a completely different approach to a lot of the people who were doing more server-based things, where he turned Minecraft into a minigame. Which, that's another thing about Minecraft, is you can mod it in a lot of ways or just play little games inside it. I mean, like, I like to joke that I never have to download a game again, because Minecraft, the physics of Minecraft and the simplicity of it can be modded very easily in such a way that it can become a wide variety of games.
It can become exactly the game you want. We mentioned bundles earlier.
Yeah.
How they were announced. In what version were they supposed to come out in?
They were supposed to come out in Caves and Cliffs,
which then got split into multiple updates. So it's a little
And so it's weird, been years. They might add it eventually, who knows? But with the power of mods, plugins, data packs, these things that can modify the game, people already use them. One of the shining examples, Hermitcraft, which is just a beautiful Minecraft Let's Play that's been going on for years. They do seasons. They've got bundles, and it's just done with a simple data pack or plugin. I don't know the specific term for it. But
interesting how Mojang deliberately seems to just be fine with modding. Not all games are. I mean, there's mods for other games, but there's also games that deliberately do not allow modding. Whereas Mojang has made it so, like, not only can you do really hefty mods, you can do just tiny little things like data packs.
Yeah. And that was something from the very beginning that he wanted. Like, I think Notch's vision of having the community in there, because that's pretty obvious of just how the development went, of having the community make this game whatever they wanted it to be. That was from the beginning. And even from getting into multiplayer, which a lot of games nowadays have, they're like session multiplayers. There's not a lot of, all right, everybody let's play together doing this one game on the same map and doing all of
this. Like with our server, like we've as a friend group, the four of us have really kind of gotten into Minecraft during the pandemic. We used it as a way to just hang out with each other when we were all stuck inside. But like one of the cool things about this is like, I can get, if no one else is on the server, I can still get on it.
Yeah.
I can still just play for a little bit. There's no sessions for your usual Minecraft server. There's probably some weird ones that do stuff like that. But
I'd also like to add with that, that each of us has a very different play style.
100%.
But yet, with what Minecraft is, that still works really well. I'm a builder.
I'm a hoarder. I laugh because they know it's true.
Yep. Yeah. And like each of us have kind of found our own little niches in Minecraft, but it all just works so well when we come together. So I'll just, you know, spend all my time building, and Brian may spend more, a bit more time, you know, like mining or just gathering resources.
Much mindless Minecrafting while listening to audiobooking for me.
That is a great way to do Minecraft, by the way.
Yeah.
While doing other stuff while doing it. But like everybody just kind of has their own role, and it's just fun. Like we can have our own unique things that we're doing and yet still be unified doing something all together.
Yeah. And speaking of like mini games, you wanted to talk about like the PvP world of Minecraft, right, Josh?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think Minecraft PvP probably really got kickstarted by Minecraft survival games.
Because
in 2012, that's when the Hunger Games movie came out.
I guess I never thought about that.
Yeah.
That's true.
Interesting timing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that same year, some YouTuber just came up with, let's do Hunger Games, but Minecraft, and called it the Survival Games. And then servers started getting created where players from, you know, all over the world could join and play Hunger Games style games, but in Minecraft. And it actually, interesting thing, it could be argued that Minecraft Survival Games is the first, one of the first, like, Battle Royale style games.
Yeah.
Because PUBG didn't come out till 2013, and Fortnite. And didn't come out till later as well.
Yeah.
They probably could have been influenced by, Minecraft Survival Games.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of, once again, all of those are like session based, all just jumping in, and then you play for X amount of time or until something happens and then it's over.
I mean,
you never see those people again.
It is amazing to me how much Minecraft just became a cultural phenomenon too. Like, I mean, I said I didn't personally play it very consistently until 2019 just because my parents didn't really have a console for it. So, but just as a sixth grader in going to middle school, in 2014 and 2013, everyone was playing Minecraft.
Oh, yeah.
I remember, again, barely had played the game. I've like played a little bit on the library Pete console every now and then when we went. I had still heard of Herobrine. We had conversations about things like Herobrine.
The terror is real.
I wanted to summon Herobrine. I wanted to make a Bedrock castle, which I think Minecraft is, that brings me to another point. Minecraft doesn't really have any specific age group. It's very accessible to kids. You can still enjoy it as an adult. And that helps a lot too.
Yeah. And even electrical engineers can enjoy playing Minecraft because of redstone.
which is a crazy aspect. I watch a lot of Hermitcraft. I'm a huge fan of them. Especially watch Tango Tech. And he was explaining once that the only reason he saw Minecraft as something cool and fan base, but it was something that he was just going to pick up, play for a minute, and then drop. But as soon as he saw the influence of Redstone and what you could do in that, because that opens the door for everything. Like, no offense to building whatsoever, but those are very static structures. They look amazing, but they're static, which Minecraft is a perfect platform to start in that building type aspect, and it's a huge art style. Yeah. But putting it something in and that invites the type of engineer and like the physical creator aspect of manipulating the world and stuff like that is incredible. It works like normal circuitry usually does, of having your AND gates and your OR gates and your OR gates and your Snorlatches and everything like that. That is basically, it's something that people can learn, but is actually helps them be able to use another skill of like going into like electrical engineering. What are your thoughts on that, Josh?
Yeah. Honestly, I think Redstone is so cool. Like, I'm an electrical engineering student. I've been learning about digital circuits and stuff. And literally everything I'm learning in my digital circuits classes can be applied to Minecraft. It would take forever to like build things like a working computer or more complicated
circuitry. Which has been
circuitry.
Done.
Yeah, it has been done. And that's so impressive. In the
description if people watch of times it has been done.
The age old joke of can you play Doom 1 on it? Yes, you can play Doom 1 in Minecraft.
You can play it.
Along with TI-84 calculators, etc. But that's just all because of Redstone.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah. I think it's like, honestly, something that got me into digital circuits and electrical engineering was Redstone in Minecraft, because I went online and learned, oh, I can make AND gates and OR gates, and I can connect them together to like make a calculator, for example. And I just think it's a super fun, interactive way for kids to like experiment with digital electronics.
Yeah. It's kind of like the game itself in the sense that it just allows you to experiment. It's like a mini version of the game itself.
Yeah.
It's, I guess in that aspect, that's perfect, because a lot of people, especially for like the younger age group, they're trying to figure out what they want to do in life. Like Josh, what you said was really interesting to me is like, that was something that got you into it, was getting into electrical engineering was Minecraft and your Redstone. And Seth, you getting into your basic design of getting into your outdoor design.
Yeah.
What do you think that was influenced by Minecraft?
I think so. Maybe not specifically like influenced by Minecraft, but it was definitely like, maybe influenced by Minecraft, because I've always been drawn to creative things. And I think Minecraft was just one way where I was able to just let that, just go for it. And that I honestly probably has led to me choosing the creative career that I am in as, well, hopefully one day a product designer. And yeah, no, it's wild.
I think in that aspect of it just being a simulation of, I guess, a not super real world aspect, but like the capabilities and the abilities that you have in that game gives you kind of a test run of what you want to do, of like that ability to do Redstone, that ability to build things. I know a lot of people that are like that found their creative outlet of like getting into drawing and stuff like that from Minecraft. A lot of big YouTubers were just use that as a platform. They use Creative World to make these ginormous structures, and then they'd fly far away from it, and it'd be a beautiful painting that nobody could tell was block pixelated.
Yeah. I've heard Minecraft described as like Legos, but a video game.
Yeah. Basically.
And I think as part of the appeal of it is it's a sandbox. It gives you some toys to play with, and you get to play with them. It's like living your childhood again.
And I feel like other like survival and open world games have tried to utilize it in similar ways, but none of them have really done it to the degree that Minecraft has.
Yeah.
I think of, you know, really any survival game, be it The Long Dark, Subnautica, The Forest. Like there are a lot of big survival games that have these aspects of being able to build and influence things, but it's not really to the degree that Minecraft is. And no other game has really been able to match it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the cost to creativity ratio for Minecraft is so good compared to things like Legos, like Brian mentioned.
That's true.
Yeah, because like every Lego set you buy, it's like $50, $100. They're really expensive.
Lego Minecraft these days is more about the sets, limits creativity a little bit.
Yeah. But yeah, you can, you know, pay a one-time $30 fee and you have infinite Legos basically in Minecraft to build as many things as you want.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
As long as you got something.
And they don't charge for updates either.
That's an interesting choice. And they're on what?
21 big 1. ones.
21. And those are decent updates.
Yeah.
And so do you think this could happen again? Do you think something like Minecraft will be able to shatter the game industry as much as it has? And just
it won't be exactly like Minecraft. When people ask questions like that, they'll ask about TV shows or movies sometimes, like, will this ever happen again? Yes, it will.
Yeah.
Someone will come along with a new idea and it'll be cool. But I mean, Minecraft has unmistakably earned its place in video game history.
Oh, yeah.
Best-selling game of all time, arguably. Yeah.
I think to add on to that answer, I think there have been other games since Minecraft that have done similar things, just not in the same way. And what I'm saying is, like, there have definitely been industry-changing games, but I don't know if there will ever be one that's very just Minecraft-like. Because, I mean, recently we saw Baldur's Gate that's just... I've never played it, but just from glowing reviews of it, it is one of the most polished, deep games ever, and it's just kind of shaken the game industry. And we've seen that with a lot of other things, Subnautica, Stardew Valley, like all these games that have kind of shaken the game industry just in different ways. Yeah. And so I think it is really cool to just be able to continue to see these developers create games that are just changing everything. And Minecraft is probably just one of the most impactful ones.
Yeah. Well, awesome. I think this conversation has been amazing of looking back into, I guess, a little bit of our childhoods looking into this and how something as a $30 game that we've played together during a very difficult time of the pandemic has influenced us so much. And so, well, thank you guys so much for tuning in. This has been Nerds by Nature signing out.